Colossians chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 28. Colossians chapter 2 and Matthew 28. Y'all there? Let me get there. All right, this is off the top of my head, so this is not a doom and gloom by no means message, but I do want to bring us all into reality, because you know when you think about the resurrection and one of the questions people, what is the big deal about the resurrection? Everybody's sorry that Jesus died and glad that he arose, but what has that got to do with you really in life? So by showing of hands, this is not a trick question, not a spiritual question, it's a physical question. By the showing of hands, how many people in here are going to die? Raise your hand. And you're going to die unless the Lord comes back. I believe every person in here got your hand raised. So 100 out of 100 people, one day, whether you're young, whether you're old, it could be today, it could be 50 years from now. I think that covers most everybody in here. One day your heart's going to stop beating. You're going to step into eternity. You're going to spend eternity according to the scripture, the authority of the Bible, one or two places. You're going to spend it in heaven or you're going to spend it in hell. Okay? Here's what I want you to think about. There's nobody's going to be there with you. It's not going to be your mom and daddy. It's not going to be your husband, your wife. It's not going to be your pastor. And I'm not going to die with you, hopefully, unless we're on a bus or something. But here's the thing, even if you do, you're on your own, and I'm on my own. And so if I have to think about the reality, because I looked this week and it said only 11% of people think about their own death maybe once a year, 11%. The rest of the people are just like, don't want to think about it. You better think about it, because you're going to have to deal with it. And so there's a lot of things preached and a lot of things taught from the Bible, and a lot of people have different ideas of what it means to be born again, because Jesus said in John chapter 3, unless a man is born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God. So it's number one, you must die, and you must, if you're going to be in heaven, you must be born again, okay? What exactly does that mean? And we'll talk about it here in just a minute, but this is the one thing I want to set in your mind before we go into that message, okay? Salvation is not about you coming up here. A lot of people are like, I don't want to walk up front. I will never ask you to walk up front unless you just want to, okay? Because this is not where, maybe you get saved here, you can be saved here outside. Sunday's not about salvation. Going through a process is not your salvation. Salvation doesn't take place in the baptistry. Your salvation, where you're going to spend eternity, is between you and Jesus. You and Jesus, not the church, not me and you. I'm not going to pray you in. No other preacher's going to pray you in. Your salvation has to be determined with what you believe about Jesus, what the Bible says about Jesus, what he's done for you in order to provide for you an opportunity to be forgiven of your sin and saved by his grace. And you have to determine what you're going to do with that, because one day you're going to take your last breath and the decision you made will carry you into eternity. So when you think about the resurrection of Jesus, I'll start in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Let me read Matthew 28. You can stay there. Matthew 28 real quick. I just like to read this. I'm not going to preach a whole lot out of it, but love the scripture. It says, now after the Sabbath, verse 1, now after the Sabbath of the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and he came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. This was not to let Jesus out, but to let them see in. His countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him. It became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen." And they say, "Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." And so, greatest news you ever heard in your life. And I know a lot of people that, you know, there's a lot of us who, I'm going to be honest with you, my whole life is built on that. My whole life, everything to do with our life is built around that right there, that story. You take that story out, you radically change and alter the direction of our life. And for a believer, that's really the way it should be. This is the core foundation. If this is true, the Bible's true. If it's false, everything about it's false. If you take that, scripture out and you disprove Jesus rose from the dead, I won't believe anything of the existence of God, anything else. I think it's a big mockery. But the fact that Jesus rose from the dead, I can prove that historically, archaeology, scientifically, biblically, 99.9% and prove it. Anybody can, not just me. There's people, if you study God's word, you can prove. It's not just a, hey, blind faith. It's a fact. And so in that, the fact that Jesus did raise from the dead proves everything. But here's the thing I want you to get. When you look in Colossians chapter 2, it tells us what it has to do with us. Verse 14 says, "Having wiped away," or wiped out, "the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." That was the list of sins against us, the law of God that we've all of us have broken in our life, okay? If you stood before the Lord, here's the sad truth. If you stand before the Lord having not been forgiven of your sin by trusting in the blood of Jesus, you'll stand in the courtroom of God and justice will be served. You will be judged as a sinner, a person who breaks the law of God. You'll be found guilty just as I would too, and you'll be sentenced to according to justice to what sin's going to give you, okay? But in that, Jesus said, I took your list. I nailed it to the cross. And then verse 15, it says, "Having disarmed principalities and powers." That's talking about the armies of hell. "He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them." Now, when you look at this, at the scripture, there's a lot of words used here. The word triumph is used in 1 Corinthians 15. The word victory is used when it talks about Jesus' resurrection. Revelation, I believe, is chapter 5. It says, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed." And so obviously when you use those words, there had to be a battle, something that was won. And I want you to see what battle it was and what was won, okay? Have you ever, it's kind of a crazy question, but have you ever had somebody you just couldn't stand? Now we need to pray, okay? If we're going to be honest, every person here, even if it was, you know, when I'm talking about somebody like somebody who's mean, hateful, hurtful, you know, somebody who preyed on people and was good at it. Maybe it's a movie. You know, I was thinking about this, I was writing, I was thinking, you know, we have our stuff on ClearPlay, okay, so it cuts out ugly stuff. But one of my favorite movies is Gladiator. Anybody watch Gladiator? You ladies watch Gladiator? All right. So you know the dude on there in Gladiator, he's the evil one, he's the wicked one, and at the end, you know, he gets what he has coming. I was like, yeah. You know, I just couldn't wait to, you know, he gets what he has coming. And when you think about that, you know, you think about maybe some other actual people in history. Hitler, just horrendous, wicked person, killed so many, preyed on innocent people. You think about terrorists like bin Laden or these people in Hamas. Or maybe the person that you know of is closer to home. You know, at school, I went to school with a man. He was a man. He failed 4 years. So he's 4 years older than us. I mean, the dude was driving when we was in the sixth grade. For some, I don't know if they still do it then, but they hold people back then. We were in school. So think about this. We're sixth graders, you know, maybe what, 120? This dude's like 200 pounds, 6'1", fully grown. And he's going to the same class with us. And the dude was just, I won't tell you who it was, but I'll tell you this. He was bigger and stronger, and he loved to hurt people. I mean, that dude, he took pleasure in hurting kids. We were kids. And I'll be honest with you, I don't care how much you like to fight. You wasn't fixing to do something that outweighed you by 50, 60 pounds. His arms were like that long. You couldn't even get close to him. But this dude, he loved to hurt people. And here's the thing. It didn't matter, boys, girls. Yeah, I've seen him punch girls in the face. Seen him punch, I don't want to get too detailed here in case there's somebody here from school, but you'd know who I was talking about. I promise you that. But there was one time where he whooped on a kid. The boy actually got a broom after him. He took it away from him, beat him up. The boy's mom come up to the school. He knocked her out. She just had to be in her 50s, and he knocked her out in the hallway. I mean, he was just that kind of person. He was evil to the bone. I can tell you this. Since then, I've talked to him. He's a born-again believer. Man, it was amazing. It freaked me out. I still kept my distance from him. But anyhow... But, you know, he was just one of them. You know, you had to be on guard. You walked in the hall, he's one of them who just laughed. And, you know, he walked into the restroom one day, and he had a piece of metal that he had in shop. And a friend of mine, he just, boom, just for nothing, didn't even know him, split his whole head open. He fell over and knocked him out. He just laughed about it and walked out. And he's just that kind of person. And I'll be honest with you, Miss, I thought, one of these days you're going to get yours, and I hope you get it good. He didn't get it by me, but I just thought, man, I hope one of these days that you're going to get yours. I just, at that point in time in life, I couldn't stand him. You say, well, that's not right. Well, I did a lot of things not right, okay? But here's the thing. One day he got it, and we all got to watch it. Because, see, he hit the wrong girl. He did. He knocked a girl out, hit her, split her wig open, knocked her out. But what he didn't know is that girl had a big brother who was actually 2 years older than him and much bigger and much more skilled in what he did. And I remember that boy came and it was all in the open and he beat the brakes off of him. I was like, I didn't want him to see me rejoicing in him. I was like, hit him again, you know. Some of y'all might think that's morbid, but here's where I'm at, you know. He deserved what he got. And that's the last time really I heard him getting into a fight because that boy beat him down. He needed it. Some of y'all might disagree with that. There's some people who sometimes I think they just need it, all right? That's between me and the Lord. But here's the thing. See, what has that got to do with Easter? There's another person that I absolutely hate with all of my heart. And you should too. His name's Satan. So should we hate? Absolutely. God hates Satan. His name is adversary. It means the hated one. God hates Satan and everything to do with the kingdom of darkness. You know, I hate his guts. I deeply hate him, and you should. He's a liar. He's a deceiver, a manipulator, an abuser of women, a child molester, a thief, a murderer, a dictator, a slave owner, pure evil. Pure evil through and through. How do you figure Satan's all that? Because he's the one that drives the people who do those things. You understand, Jesus said in John chapter 6, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, said, we do not fight. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But against principalities, there's that word again, it's in Colossians, against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, wickedness in high places. You see, there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and there's the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of hell. Most of us don't even think about an enemy or the kingdom of hell. We think about, you know, why does God let this happen? Why does God let that happen? Why God this? Why God that? I want you to get your thinking straight on because you have an enemy who despises you, who despises your children, who despises your grandchildren, who wants nothing but misery and hell for them. And until you recognize that, you know, the resurrection is not going to make a whole lot of difference in your life. You ever stood next to a grave of a loved one? He's the reason you're there. If you ever watched someone suffer, he's the source of it. If you ever seen a disease destroy somebody's body slowly, he's the cause. If you ever felt pain, separation, and loss, he took pleasure in provoking that in your life. I want you to get a real good picture of what Satan is all about. Because here's the thing, it's been a really miserable week for us, and I think this is why, because he hates being brought in light. I want to bring him into the light. He likes to stay in the shadows. He likes to point to God. When you have pain, he wants to go, it's God's fault. When you bury somebody, it's God's fault. When you suffer and you're sick, it's God's fault. Because, you know, he's all powerful and he could. I'm like, wait a second. God's not the author of this. You're the one that brought this into the world. I realize in Romans chapter 5, it says that sin came into the world by man, by Adam, and death came by sin. Okay, who's the one who provoking it? Who was the one who was bringing it out? The same exact one who brings it out in every single one of us. He's the reason that we go through all this misery and torment oftentimes in our life. He loves your misery. Ever been disappointed, depressed, disgusted, just beat down? He loves that. Especially with God's people, he loves to see your misery. He loves to bring it and produce it in your life. He wants to beat you down, break you, crush you. And here's the thing, he is good at it. Prior to Jesus, you realize he was undefeated. If you've ever looked in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, you remember the story of David and Goliath? God put that story together. He allowed and caused all of those things to happen so that you get a picture. Think about this. The Old Testament gives you a view of what's going on in the spiritual realm. Goliath is what he represents, Satan and death, never been beat. Nobody could beat him, taunting. Remember, he was taunting Israel, going, come out, send a man to fight. He had never been beat, undefeated. David represents Jesus, who walks out onto the battlefield. David represented all of Israel because he said, if you win, we'll let y'all go free. But if I beat you, you're going to become our slaves. It's the exact same thing that Satan says. And when Jesus went to the cross, he fulfilled what David did on that battlefield, that he represented all of mankind. Here's the thing, if Jesus wins, everybody has the opportunity to go free. If he loses, you have no hope. You understand, you have no hope. The Bible says sin entered. And here's the thing, when sin entered into the world through Adam, when Adam chose to do that, he just passes it on to generation to generation to generation. We're all born in sin. We're sinners through birth. We became immediately the children of darkness, prisoners. We abide in death. We're objects of his torment. We're unable to overcome. You can't beat it. You can't beat sin. Try. If you're here today and go, I've never trusted in Jesus, Savior, never been born again, and I'm hoping I'm going to make it by my goodness. You can't do it. You're not going to do it. You can't beat the power of sin. If you could do that, you'd never die. The wages of sin is death. The only reason we die is because we're sinners. You ever seen anybody sitting here 200 years old? You know why? He's never been beat by any man. Never been beat. You know what it's like to get beat upon? Some people get bullied. What would it be like to get bullied every day? Is you beat upon, beat upon, beat upon, beat upon. Every day you can expect it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. That's what it's like to live lost in your sin. You might not realize it, but you know what? The devil just, he takes glory in just beating on you and beating on you and beating on you and beating on you every day. And here's the sad thing. There's some of God's people who you take that junk. Every day you listen to him, he beats you up. He sends other people that serve him to beat up on you. He's always lying to you, always telling you you're worthless, always telling you you're never going to live up to it, always reminding of your failures, always bringing up your past, always bringing up your shame, always bringing up your shortcomings every day. You know how committed he is? He's committed to your misery. You know what? When you think about that, you think about it, he's committed to that with your kids too. That's why as a parent, God gave you the power to overcome that. And here's the thing. We're unable to overcome it. Living defeated, and people who are lost without Jesus, you know what they're doing? They're not living. They're just waiting. Life is a waiting room. What are you waiting on? Waiting on you got coming. You're waiting on death and hell. You know, death is always, the Bible talks about it as a shadow. Walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death's always looming over us. We don't like to talk about it. We don't want to avoid that. Especially young people like, I want to avoid that. And I don't want to think about that. I want you to think about it for just a minute. Because you know how many kids I've buried? In 30 years, how many teenagers I buried 30 years? How many 20-year-olds? It don't take being 80 to die. We don't ever know when our last day is going to be, and death's a reality. One of the things that shook me in my life is I had a friend who was 17, drove a motorcycle, fell off, head hit the ground, and he was stepped into eternity. Shook me as a kid. I'm not trying to scare anybody. I just want to wake you up to reality, is because it's always looming. And us people who try to, you know, I eat healthy. I eat healthy and I go to the gym and I signed up for the Y the third time this year. We do that. That's great. You know, I want to live healthy while I'm alive. But one of these days, your health ain't going to hold up. And your heart's going to stop beating. And here's the problem. A lot of times the devil keeps people in the darkness. Don't think about it. You're young. You got a lot of years to go. Look at you. You just got your doctor's report. Doesn't matter if you're 55, 65. You got 20, 30 years left. Don't even think about that dying. Nobody wants to think about dying. I know some people who don't even go to funerals because they don't want to face the reality of it. But the reality of it is, it's always looming, ain't it? And you know what the devil's plan is? It's to use you up, treat you like worthless garbage, and dispose of you, your spouse, your grandchildren. And here's the thing, there's nothing you can do to stop it. Nothing you can do to stop it. You know, as parents, we got plans for our kids. We got hopes and dreams for our kids. You know what the devil thinks about? I want to wake some parents up. You know what he thinks about is? If I can just keep them distracted, if I can get them, keep them in darkness, if I can keep them in lies, if I can get them around the right crowd, if I can put the right thoughts in their head, if I can do all that, I can hold on to it. Because you know what I want to do? I just want to ravish that kid. I want to take that kid and I want to put him into misery. I want to destroy that kid because he's created in the image of God. He hates your kids. He's going to do everything he can do to stand on the edge of hell and go, laugh, just laugh. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to laugh at so many people. People that curse God, people that didn't believe God's word, people that thought God was this, God that. The devil's going to be like, you stupid idiot. You know what you did? You believed the greatest liar that's ever breathed. And watch him be cast into hell. That's reality. That's a reality a lot of Christians don't want to think about. You know what? It's hopeless. And Satan can't wait for the final blow. As parents, God calls us to teach our kids and to tell them the truth. The truth is not, hey, you need to go to church, make sure you got your get out of hell free card. The truth is you have somebody who's hunting you day and night. You got somebody that wants your life to be miserable. You got somebody who he has plans. God has plans for you. God's plans are good. God's plans are to give you a hope, to give you a future, to give you life like Mark was preaching on this morning in the early service. To give you abundant life, life to the fullness. That's what God has for you. That's what he's always had for us. And all of a sudden, man comes along and thinks God's lying and he chooses to sin. And now we're under this sin curse that we can't beat. And we've got a maniac driving the wheel, wondering where he's going to carry us. And we're believing what the world's telling us rather than looking at God going, you know what? Maybe God's got something different. Maybe God's got something better. Maybe God's not the cosmic rule maker who wants to take away all of our fun. You know, but here's the thing. Satan's day came. And some people get this message, some of you won't, but I hope you get it. Just like that boy I was talking about, his day came, Satan's day came because he picked the wrong person. You know, I like watching UFC. I know a lot, you know, like Miss Verna, she watches UFC. My mom-in-law, they enjoy that. But I love to watch the UFC, and one of the things I really enjoy is when somebody gets on there and they're bumping their gums and they're doing all that talking, and all of a sudden when they walk into the octagon, they get a fist in their face, all that talking shuts up and they get knocked out, and I'm like, yeah, heck yeah. You know, I'm not being ugly by doing it, it's a sport. Yeah, I ain't hating nobody, but I'm like, man, I loved it that his fist filled up your mouth. And I can't help that I rejoice to go, you know what, Satan, that's what he is. He's a gum bumper. He just likes to run his chops. Always threatening people, always lying to people, always intimidating people. And you know what? Jesus put five in his face. Whether you like that or not, that's what the resurrection was Jesus going, you done messed with the wrong people, they're mine. You done messed with the wrong one. If you can't enjoy that, then you have never been bothered by the devil, all right? Sometimes in life, that's the only thing that gets me through to go, you know what? I'm so sick and tired of him always yakking. Always yakking and always, you know, the Bible says, and it's in Zechariah chapter 3, you know, Joshua stood there before the Lord and said, Satan stood at his right hand ready to resist. God has so much good for y'all. He has so much good for y'all. Number one, he wants to save your soul and give you life. Number two, he's got, like Mark covered it this morning, he's got life here. My life, since I started following Jesus, is a million times better than what it was. He's got goodness and blessing and purpose and power for your life. And you know what? Satan's ready to resist. You're going to fight it? Get ready? Because here's the thing. God didn't call us to a life of leisure. He called us to a battlefield, but a battlefield of victory. A battlefield of victory. And Jesus is like, you know what? I won the victory. I triumphed over the kingdom of hell. When I went to the cross, I made an open spectacle to them. I made a mockery of them. And because you're mine, you have the same power that raised me from the dead. You have that power in you if you're a child of God, and you have victory. But some of you don't live in that victory. Some of you walk and you continue to be influenced by the darkness instead of walking in the light, and you continue to believe the lies that he speaks rather than believing what God's word says of you. And so in this, Jesus at the cross stepped into the devil's octagon. He walked onto the battlefield and he faced the armies of hell on our behalf. Think about this. We all look at, if you watch the show, The Passion of Christ, and we look at the outside sufferings of Christ, which was horrendous. You sit there and watch that movie. You know, I watched that movie. I remember that Jeremy was about 12 when we went to the show. I don't know if I should have took him, but I took him. I wanted him to see it. We went to the show and we watched it. And I was trying to collect myself watching it, and he was losing it. I mean, people was watching him. Jeremy was falling apart, wailing in the movie, and that upset me. But when you watch it, you're like, gosh, how many times are they going to continue to shred his back and hit him and punched him all the way through the movie? Like, but that's nothing compared to what was going on behind the scenes. Do you realize that God took his hand off of his son? Remember what Jesus said? My God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father removed his hand from his son and turned him over to the kingdom of darkness. Why? Because of my sin. Jesus willingly submitted himself to that. You know, do you realize this? The Lord could have just went, he could have just thought it and smoked everyone. But if he had done that, you have no hope. You had no hope. He went to that fight representing you. He went to that fight for you to give you a hope. Because at that point in time, you and I were prisoners. We were held, the Bible says it very clearly, captive by sin. We were at the free will of whatever the devil wanted to do with our lives. Jesus wasn't going to have it. Loved you enough to go, no, I'm going to step into this ring. And I'm going to fight your battle for you. And then part of that battle was submitting himself to take what he took from somebody he shouldn't have had to take it from. And so think about this. The Bible says that Satan entered into Judas. Satan entered into Judas. And why did Judas betray Jesus? Because Satan entered into Judas. You think that was the only person he entered into in that crowd? What about the temple soldiers that came and arrested him in the Garden of Gethsemane? I guarantee you, that place is full of devils. And then you think about the ones who were punching him in the face. You think about the mock trial that the Sanhedrin had. Man, the kingdom of hell was all the way through there. Herod and his soldiers, you remember Herod's soldiers took Jesus, stripped him of his clothes, put a robe on him, bowed him down. They took a crown of thorns that they wove together, put it on his head, and they took a stick and just beat it over the top of his head till it drove into his skull. You know who was doing that? The devil. They was laughing, mocking. They worshiped him. I want you to see. I want you to open your eyes and see what was going on. It wasn't just men doing that. It was demons. Those who used to be angels of God who was bowing down and mocking the Son of God. What are you going to do? Mock worshiping. The Romans at the scourging. You know who was driving the Jewish crowd? The same crowd. Think about this. The same crowd a week earlier, Jesus rode into Jerusalem, the same crowd was laying palm leaves ahead of him, laying their clothes in the streets, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, that word means come save us. They were like, you're the Messiah, come and save us. They wanted a different kind of salvation. They didn't want to admit their sins and be forgiven for that. They just wanted free from the Roman government. Those same people were the same ones that was driven at his mock trial to call, crucify him, crucify him. Oh, devil's out there going, crucify him, crucify him. Are y'all with me? Say, who drove the nails in Jesus' hand? I'd be willing to bet everything God at the devil himself. You know what? Jesus could see that. We couldn't see it, but he could see it. He could see everything that was going on. And hell was having its party. But here's the thing, I want you to understand, he didn't take Jesus' life. That's right, amen. Jesus said, no man takes my life. I willingly lay it down and I will raise it up. He had already said, you know what, you're going to get a knockout punch, but 3 days later, I'm fixing to come back, and I'm fixing to show you what a knockout punch is. You know, he was tormented by hell for what seemed like an eternity under the weight and the wrath of our sin, and death did his dirty work. Jesus died, stopped breathing, heart beating, soul left his body. So where'd he go? Went into paradise, what the Bible clearly says, okay? But during that 3 days, think about this, hell gave its best fight, everything it had. And that's why in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, it says, I'll read it again, he wiped out, think about this, he wiped out the requirements that was against you, which was contrary to you. I want you to think about this, every sin. Why did Jesus go to the cross? We've heard it a million times, to die for our sins. Think about this, you literally had a list which the accuser, Satan's called the accuser of the brethren. That is his, I guess you would say, his guarantee. Satan's guarantee that you would end up in hell was this list right here. You know why? Because God is a just God. He doesn't just overlook your sin. A lot of people are like, well, I hope I do enough good to make up for my bad. Man, if you was to roll out my list, it would roll all the way down that aisle and keep going. And yours would too. Amen. Yours would too. You're as guilty as sin. And the devil loves that list. He loved to go before God and go, you see this? You see what he did? You see what Lee did right here? He's guilty. How can he can't, he's not going to heaven. Imagine Lee went to church a few times probably before you come to know Jesus. Lee felt good about himself. Yeah, I'm in the church. You know, I went to church this Sunday. It was good. And you know what? I don't know what you stopped, Lee. I stopped hating people. So you know what? But you know what? The old devil's like, wait a second, Lee. I got something. I got a guarantee right here. And I've got you. I own you. This was his title deed to Lee's soul. This is, you know what this does? This will make you mine. I'm your daddy. I control you. I call the shots for you. I say what you go through in life. I bring and take away. I come to kill, steal, and destroy you. I own this. That's what Jesus took, and he nailed to the cross. And his blood covered that. And you know what? Lee's prison doors opened up. Want you to understand, every person here, according to the scripture, you're a prisoner of sin. You're a prisoner of the devil. You're held captive by the devil. But when Jesus went to the cross, he buried your sin. And when he arose from the grave, every prison door opened up. Every prison door opened up. Now you decide if you want to stay. Lee could have went, you know what? I kind of like this prison. It's not bad. It's pretty good. You know, three hots in a cot. Don't the world love it? They love the devil's prison. I love it. It's not that bad. I make a lot of money. If I make more money, then I'll overcome this misery. You know what? If I drink enough, I won't think about this misery. If I take enough dope, then I'll live in a different reality in my mind. You know what? If I chase after enough women or I chase after enough men, I'm going to find the right one who makes me feel good about being in this prison. In reality, you're just waiting on your execution. There came a day where Lee heard the gospel of Jesus. And Jesus loved him. Pick on Lee this morning. He just sat in the wrong place. Where he heard somebody, I don't know who it was, but he heard the gospel of Jesus. And he recognized, here's the thing, this to me. He agreed with God to go, I am a prisoner. Sin has made me miserable. Sick of it. I'm dead guilty. I just tell you what I heard. I was dead guilty. I wasn't one of them. You know, I'm a pretty good person. I was a freaking wretch, horrendous sinner, wicked through the bone. Knew I was going to die and go to hell. And what made it even worse was I was a religious person. I went to church all the time. I'd never had a problem going. And one day God just shook me, bring me to the reality. Go, you know what? I'm in a bad place and I'm in trouble and I can't do anything about it. I've tried to go to church and be good enough. I've tried to make up for my bad. I've tried to do all these things, and I keep coming back to the place where sin just brings me back to that same place, just looming over me. One of those days, I heard that call, and you know what I did? I trusted Jesus. Lee trusted Jesus. Like, you know what? I'm going to believe that he fought my fight for me, because when he walked out of that grave, he delivered the death blow to the kingdom of hell. No more power. You know what Jesus said? He has no. I've just triumphed. I've won a victory. The line of the tribe of Judah prevailed. He's the only one that's ever beat him. And in beating that, he opened up every prison door to go, I'm going to offer y'all a free gift.
If you turn to me, you know what repentance is? Repentance is not, oh, I'm so sorry, and I'm going to cry a lot, and I'm going to feel really bad. Repentance is you choose who you follow. You choose what kingdom you want to be a part of. You want to be a part of the kingdom of sin and darkness and Satan, you're going to end up where that kingdom's headed. Or you repent and go, I'm going to believe Jesus. I'm going to turn to him today. I'm going to walk out of this kingdom. I'm going to walk out of this prison door, and I ain't coming back. I'm going to follow him, and he's going to lead me all the way to life. That's the gospel. That's what our hope is. And when Jesus rose from the dead, you know, we read it in Matthew 28. I'm almost done. Read Matthew 28. It says that there was an earthquake and it shook. You know what? All of hell shook that day. All of hell shook that day. You know why? Because Satan woke up to his ultimate defeat. Remember, God promised him way back in Genesis, said, you know what, my son is going to crush your head. You're going to get what you have coming. That day, Jesus crushed his head. There's a little bit crushing left. This is going to be done. But when Jesus walked out of the grave, it wasn't just the grave that was open. Heaven's doors open, prison's doors open, and an invitation open for whosoever wants to come to receive forgiveness and life and a future and a hope. And let me tell you something, God's people, you have victory and power over sin, over Satan, over the kingdom of darkness. Light is always greater than darkness. And some of God's people need to start living that way. Quit listening to the liar, feeling sorry for yourself. Go, man, I have this addiction. I can't beat it. And I have this thing that is going on. Here's where I'm at. If Christ is alive in you, you have the power of the resurrection that rose him from the dead, that raises your dead spirit to life and gives you power over darkness, period. There is no sin that can control a born-again believer, period. You have the power to overcome. Now, is it a battle? Yeah, absolutely. And there's times where we get beat on a little bit, and most of the times by our own choice. But God's like, no, you can beat this one. I gave you the power to beat this. I gave you the power to overcome, and you could choose to walk in line. And if we want to be honest, most of us listen to a liar and go, ain't that bad. You know what America says? Here's the thing. Jesus is your get-out-of-hell-free card. You go to church and do your little Sunday thing. You know, you pray your little prayer, and you get baptized, and now you know that when you die, because you believe in God, that you're going to heaven, you don't got to worry about going to hell, and now you're going to backslide for the rest of your life, and you're going to do what the world does, because we all sin, right? And we all struggle, and we all fall, and we all fail, and all this stuff in the Bible about victory and freedom and peace and joy and life, you know, this is for the really religious elite people. But for everybody else, we're all in the same bucket, aren't we? It's just life. You know what? That's called believing a lie. It's called believing a lie and living in a place that God set you free from. You know, here's the thing. We all know too well what it feels like to be hopeless and defeated and crushed and waiting certain judgment. Say, I rejoice in it because that's what the devil feels right now. He's totally defeated. His judgment's already been called. And God, when he rose from the dead, he offered you the gift of forgiveness and life and freedom. And every man here and every woman here will make a decision what you're going to do with that. So for me, when you go, why are you so excited about the resurrection? Because I desperately needed that. Recognize I can't win, can't beat it, I can't beat him. But Christ beat him. Put my faith and trust in Jesus. I want to ask you the question, have you walked out of your prison cell? How many of you today are living free? Like my sins have been forgiven. Listen to me. No, I'm not just saying, well, I was really bad and he forgave me that. No. Past, you're not just forgiven sins, you're forgiven as a sinner. You're here today and say, I've been born again by God's Spirit. God no longer looks at you as a sinner. He looks at you as a saint. In Christ Jesus, you are free from the power of sin, free from the power of death, and God's given you eternal life. Walk in that freedom, in that victory. That's why we celebrate and rejoice the resurrection of Jesus. Why? It's a great thing, because he put five in the devil's face, and I love it. And I look forward to the day where everything he has to do with him is totally crushed. If you haven't never trusted in Jesus today, listen to me. We're going to have an invitation. I'm not asking you to come up front. I'm not asking you to say anything in front of anybody. What I'm asking you to do is that you look at your heart right there where you sit. If you die today when you leave this place on the way to China Buffet. You know, I'll close with this story. It's a terrible story, but I'm going to close with it as a reality. If you have Miss Pearl Rick, she used to be a member here, and she moved off, and she's on Facebook. And yesterday she made a post. I don't know if you saw that post, but there was a little boy. I think he's about 9 years old. And his mom went to sleep, and somebody was supposed to be watching him, and they wasn't watching him. And he ended up outside, two other people walking across the highway going to, I believe it was a park. And a car stopped to let him go, and another car came around speeding, and they hit him, run over that little boy, and they showed him laying in a hospital. It's a horrible picture. So he got 20% chance of living. That boy got up that morning. He wasn't thinking about dying. 9 years old. A long life ahead of him. Got a future. And I started praying for him. I encourage you to pray for him too. Pray that he lives. But here's the thing. You never know, people. You never know when your day is coming. I'm not using a scare tactic. I want to use a reality tactic. If you're here today and you go, I don't believe all this stuff. I got time. I'm going to walk out. I hope to God God's merciful to you and you get another chance. But if you're here today and God's like, I'm talking to you. Understand the Lord loves you, died for you, rose from the grave for you, and he'll forgive you of your sins, give you life today, right where you are. Talk to Jesus. Will you stand with your head bowed and your eyes closed? Lord, I love you, and I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you, Jesus, for the hope that we have because of you. Thank you, Jesus, that you triumphed for us. God, it's not a battle that we fight. You won the victory. All we do is walk in it. God, I just pray for someone here today that doesn't know you as their Savior. Lord, that they would look to you today, trust you, give their life to you, receive your forgiveness and your mercy today, Lord, right where they stand. Every one of us, God, every one of us need you. And I thank you, Jesus, that you offer the free gift of salvation to whosoever will come. I pray people will come to you today. Lord, as your people, I pray we'd recognize what you have accomplished for us, what you've given to us. I pray we'd be a people. We should be a people who live and walk in hope and in life and in victory and in peace and in joy and in thankfulness that the world might see the difference you've made. God, I just thank you that we have a great hope. One of these days, our old bodies might fall in that ground, but God, our soul and spirit's going to be alive. We look forward to a day of a new body and a resurrection of every person who's ever trusted in Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you would move in this in a mighty way, and we ask you in Jesus' name, amen.